The awesome things the Lord is doing are incalculable.
A woman wrote to revive our hearts about the Spanish version of the program, Aviva Nuestros Corazones.
I share the program each day with 168 women through a group chat. 75% of them don't know the Lord. I'm trusting His word never returns empty.
This listener benefited from the Spanish version of the live stream of the most recent Revive conference.
We registered our church in New Jersey to transmit Revive 17. And as far as I know, we were the only location in the area that streamed the event in Spanish. We were eager to share the event live with the women of our church and with women who do not know the Lord. We knew it might be the most important appointment of their lives, in which they would have an encounter with their Lord and Savior. We pray daily for Aviva Nuestros Corazones, that the Lord continue to bless and provide the resources necessary to expand the message.
Wow, this shows us that Aviva Nuestros Corazones isn't just reaching women in Latin America, but also Spanish-speaking women in the U.S. as well. This Spanish program is such a fast-growing ministry, but it's still just a few years old, and it needs continued financial and staff support from Revive Our Hearts. And you're a crucial part of that process, because when you donate to Revive Our Hearts, you're also supporting Aviva Nuestros Corazones and all the other outreaches of Revive Our Hearts, such as conferences, daily radio and podcasts, publishing, small group studies, and more. In order to continue our existing outreaches into 2018, we're asking the Lord to provide $1.8 million during the month of December. Anything He sends over that amount will help us take advantage of some exciting new opportunities. For example, we're eager to be able to provide our core content in some additional languages where there's great hunger and need around the world. And there's a need to deepen our web and our social media outreaches that are impacting so many women each day. And we need to add some key staff roles in order to move the ministry forward. And as we've been telling you over the last few weeks, your gift between now and December 31st will be doubled. That's because a group of ministry friends has provided an $800,000 matching challenge. So any gift you make this month will be doubled until that challenge has been met. If God has used this program, this ministry, to be a blessing in your life, would you ask the Lord if He would want you to give a gift at this time to help meet this year-end need? And if the Lord puts it on your heart to make a donation, give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or you can visit reviveourhearts.com and just click the donate button. Thanks so much for your prayers, for your support and your encouragement, for helping Revive Our Hearts call women to greater freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wagelmuth, author of The Quiet Place, for December 22nd, 2017. Simeon has become a new favorite character in the Christmas story for a lot of our listeners. Yesterday, we heard about his Christmas psalm. He delivered the psalm when meeting the baby Jesus for the first time after he'd waited for years. Nancy's going to tell us more as she continues in a series called My Eyes Have Seen Your Salvation.
I have a friend in the area who, with her husband, visited my church recently. And after the service, I looked over and this woman had tears just streaming down her face. She could hardly talk, and she just kind of managed to get out a few words to me as we looked at each other. And she just said, It's so amazing. It's such a gift. And we had just heard a message from the book of Romans about the grace of God and the gift of God. And it was a good message. But I'm looking at this woman. She's overwhelmed with what she had just heard. She just kept saying, it's such a gift. It's such a gift. And she could hardly express what it was that she was wanting to say. So I wrote her an email couple days later and just told her how encouraged I was by what God had been doing in her life. And she sent me back an email, and let me read part of what it said. She said, I take no credit for where I am. I know that it is only by Him choosing to open my eyes and remove the veil from my eyes that I am what I am today. I believe that's probably why I couldn't hold back my emotions on Sunday. I know I am so unworthy, and yet He chose me. He chose me, one of the foremost of all sinners, to open my eyes to the truth and to give me understanding of the mysteries of the gospel. She said, I prayed Monday that I would never lose that heart of gratitude, that I would always see it as clearly as I did on Sunday. I want to always see it as an amazing, precious gift from God Himself, a gift that we in no way deserve. Oh, how I pray that, she said, for my own children. She has several children who are in the 20-something range, young adults. She said, I pray that for my own children, that they would see how precious the gift of salvation truly is, that it is never something to be taken for granted. And then she quotes that verse from Ephesians chapter 2, but God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved me, even when I was dead in my transgressions, with eyes veiled, she said, He made me alive together with Christ. By grace, I have been saved. Well, as I think back on that exchange, both in person and through email with that friend, I think of what we've been reading in the story of Simeon in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. This woman has such a sense of wonder, amazement, gratitude, awe, as she has been coming face to face with Christ. And that's the attitude that we are seeing in Simeon's response as he comes into the temple and he sees this infant Christ, the consolation of Israel that he has been waiting for all his life. Now he is presumably an older man, and he has finally seen that for which he has longed and presumably prayed and asked the Lord. And there's just this sense of amazement. If you're not already there, let me ask you to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And we're picking up today with continuing in Simeon's Psalm of Praise. And you remember how he came into the temple led by the Spirit at just the time that Mary and Joseph came into the temple bringing their 40-day-old child to dedicate, present that child to the Lord. And you remember how when the parents brought in the child Jesus, Simeon saw this baby. Now, there may have been lots of other babies being dedicated that day, but the Holy Spirit pointed out, this is the one. And we read in verse 28 of chapter 2 that when Simeon saw the child, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. And then he begins this psalm of praise in verse 29. Lord, remember we said there he used a word for Lord that isn't the typical word used in the Greek language. The word he chose here is a word that from which we get our word despot, a ruler, an absolute authority. And he says, Master, my despot, my ruler, my king, now you are letting your bond slave depart in peace. I can die in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. By the way, as I've been meditating on this passage over the last several weeks, you know, we see the Psalm of Praise. We see Simeon taking the baby, taking him up in his arms and blessing God and saying these words that we just read. It occurred to me recently, and I don't think I'm doing any disservice to the text by pointing this out. We always think of Simeon as holding Jesus, but blessing God, who is someone somewhere else. But there's a very real sense in which as Simeon speaks these words, this psalm of praise, this hymn of praise, he's not only speaking to God in heaven, he is speaking to the baby that he's holding in his arms, because that baby is God. And there's a sense in which he's saying to the infant Christ, the Lord Jesus, Lord, here's this old man addressing this baby as his despot, his master, his Lord. Lord, think of him saying this to the baby. Now you are letting your servant, I am your bondslave, and I can die in peace according to your word. It's the word of Jesus. Jesus is the living word of God. For my eyes have seen your salvation, Lord Jesus, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. There's a hint here at the deity of Christ, the recognition that this baby is God. We talked about the incarnation earlier in this series, that God took on human flesh. that God was the one who came to this earth, was conceived in the womb of a virgin, and born as this baby Jesus. And so when Simeon blessed God, he was also blessing this baby, blessing Christ, who is our salvation, our light, and our glory. Now, Simeon says in verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." My eyes have seen your salvation. And as he holds this baby in his arms and blesses God, we realize that salvation is a person. Ladies, salvation is not a philosophy. It's not a religion. It's not a doctrinal system. It's not a religious system. It's not a set of beliefs. Now, there is a set of beliefs about salvation. There is a doctrinal system about salvation. But salvation is ultimately a person. It's Jesus. He is our salvation. To see Jesus is to see God's salvation. Jesus and salvation are inseparable. You know, many saw Jesus in the temple that day and throughout his earthly life, whether when he was a baby or then as a grown man, and never realized that they were seeing God's salvation because they didn't have spiritual eyes. They saw a physical baby with their physical eyes. They saw a grown man with their physical eyes, but they never saw God's salvation. But God opened the eyes of Simeon's heart, just as he has opened the eyes of many of our hearts. And God gave him faith to realize that when he saw this child, he was seeing God's salvation. He says, "My eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples." That little phrase, "that you have prepared," God, you have prepared this salvation. This salvation that we have received from the Lord was not an afterthought on God's part. Salvation is something that God has prepared for us. The word that's used in the Greek there means to provide, to make ready. And as we study the whole of Scripture, we realize that in eternity past, before there was time, before God created this world, that God providentially, sovereignly designed, he prepared the plan of salvation. He always had in mind what it is that we celebrate at this first Christmas. And then through the life and the death, the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. This was a plan God had prepared. And throughout history, God had been making this plan, this salvation, ready for his people. The salvation that God has prepared gives us a picture here, an idea of a feast that God has prepared for us, a feast that God has provided, made ready for us. I think of that verse in Psalm 23 that says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, in the presence of Satan and sin and this fallen world and my sinful flesh. Lord, you have prepared a table, an abundant feast, a spread. It's the table of salvation to which you have invited me to come and of which I'm invited to partake." Isaiah chapter 25 tells us prophetically, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food." What is that feast? It's God's salvation. And what is God's salvation? It is a rich feast to satisfy us and fill us at our deepest points of hunger and thirst. He says, "You've prepared this salvation in the presence of all peoples." There's a reminder in this passage that this salvation is for all the world. Isaiah 52 tells us, "The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." Verse 32 of Luke chapter 2 here describes this salvation in further detail. Simeon says, "My eyes have seen your salvation," verse 30, "that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples." Then verse 32, "a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." God's salvation was to be a light, to illuminate the darkness of our world. Remember reading in the book of Isaiah, "The people who lived in darkness have seen a great light." And if this world isn't in darkness today, I don't know when it ever has been. I don't know that it's ever been in greater darkness. And yet what we're celebrating here at Christmas without apology is that God penetrated the darkness to send the light of the world, the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the light for our darkness. Now, what Simeon says here in this Psalm of Praise, that this is a light for revelation to the Gentiles, is the first reference in the Gospel of Luke to salvation being extended beyond the Jews to the Gentiles. This isn't a shocking thing to us when we read it, because we've read it many times before. We are Gentiles, most of us, by birth according to the flesh. And so we don't stop to ponder what an amazing thing it would have been to these first century readers of Luke's gospel. To those who heard Simeon in the temple, remember he was in the part of the sanctuary where Gentiles could not enter. Remember earlier in this series we talked about Herod's temple and how there was the outer court of the Gentiles outside the sanctuary, and there was a sign that said, "No Gentiles beyond this point on pain of death. You don't dare enter the sanctuary if you're not a Jew." Here is Simeon in the temple saying that God has sent Jesus, God's salvation, to be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Now, the Jews considered Gentiles dogs. But all through the Old Testament, God had been giving glimpses that his salvation was for all peoples, that the Jews were merely God's means of bringing salvation to the world. And so here, God mentions the Gentiles before the Jews. It's what one commentator calls God's unexpected reversal. The thought that Gentiles should be included in God's plan was an awesome thought. And so to see that Jesus is the Savior of the Gentiles, he draws here on the book of Isaiah. Isaiah had prophesied that God's salvation was not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles as well. But most Jews of Simeon's day had either missed that, they had ignored it, or they had chosen to reject that concept. Listen to this verse in Isaiah 49. "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." It was always in God's heart and God's plan to extend his salvation beyond the Jewish people to the Gentiles. And so Jesus, God's salvation, is a light for revelation to the Gentiles, for salvation to the Gentiles. And it reminds me of that verse in 2 Corinthians 4, "God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God," where? "In the face of Jesus Christ." That's what Simeon saw when he took that baby up in his arms and he blessed God. A light, the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God that previously was housed only in the Holy of Holies in the temple. Now that light has come to earth. We beheld his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. So as Simeon holds that baby in his arms, he praises God for the Messiah. The Messiah has brought him peace. He has said, "Now I can depart in peace. I can die without fear because my eyes have seen your salvation." Now, death is not something to be feared. As we said in the last session, death is gain because I have seen your salvation. And he says, God has brought through this child salvation and light and glory, not only to me, not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, to the whole world. I want to play for you a song that just recounts what we've just said, and then I'll wrap it up with a few thoughts at the end.
An old man in the temple, waiting in the court, waiting for the answer to a promise. And all at once he sees them in the morning sunshine, a couple coming, carrying a baby. Mary and the baby come, and in her hand 5 shekels, the price to redeem her baby boy. The baby softly cooing, nestled in her arms. Simeon takes the boy and starts to sing. I've seen your salvation. He's the light of the Gentiles, and the glory of his people, Israel.
Now's the time to take him in your arms. He's the only way that you'll find peace. He'll give you salvation because he's the light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people, Israel. You know, as we come up on this Christmas season, there's a lot of talk, a lot of singing, a lot of church services, a lot of pageantry, a lot of special occasions and lights and glitz and glamour. But my question to you is, have you held him in your arms? By faith, have you seen God's salvation? Have you seen him? Not just do you go to church where they talk about it, not just did you grow up hearing this all your life, but do you have that personal faith relationship with the Lord Jesus? Is he your salvation? Is he your light? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Let's bow our hearts in prayer. And I would like to invite you, if perhaps you've heard this story all your life, but God is opening your eyes today and giving you faith to see Christ as God's salvation, would you just in this moment say, Lord, I believe. Thank you for opening my eyes to see that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and I trust him now as my Savior. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Forgive my sin. Give me a new heart. Save me by your grace. And Lord, I pray that this Christmas season would be a time of true salvation for those that you have called, those you have chosen, those whose eyes you are opening to see and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth has been pointing our attention where it needs to be this Christmas season, on the person of Jesus. I've needed today's message in the rush of a holiday season. If you appreciated it, I hope you'll order the series on CD. This series is called My Eyes Have Seen Your Salvation. You can order the entire series at reviveourhearts.com. Or visit the website and download the programs at no charge, or listen to the stream. Again, it's reviveourhearts.com. Okay, imagine meeting a friend who just had a baby. You look down at the cute newborn and tell the mother, he's like a stone. That happened around the first Christmas. Nancy will tell us about it Monday on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth wants to help you know Jesus better. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.